Hello, everyone. I'm Emily Lavender, and this is the Forever Marriage Podcast. Forever Marriage at Lakewood exists to strengthen families by helping couples discover God's design for marriage. Welcome back to the Forever Marriage Podcast. We are in season 3, and this is episode 10, and we are talking about what it looks like to finish well, whether that's in life or in a job, whatever. We're looking at what it looks like to finish well. We're almost halfway through our little acronym here, and we're in the middle of the letter I, which is to invest in others. And so we're going to pick up right here today talking about spiritual gifts. So Scott and Dawn, welcome to the table.
Good morning.
How are you? Good morning. I'm good. Now,
you said this is a little acronym. This is probably one of the biggest acronyms we've ever done. This is not a small one.
Which letter are we on today?
F-I-N-I-S-H-W-E-L-L. Yeah, so we kind of went crazy, or I went crazy.
Please don't say we.
It's all right.
Is not a fan of the acronyms, but I sure am. I love me an acronym, which takes us to where we are today. So
perfect.
We talk about this whole idea of investing in others. As we finished up in our last episode, in episode 9, we talked about the capital that we invest, financial capital and intellectual capital, physical capital, relational capital, and spiritual capital. And so if you hadn't had a chance to listen to that, we encourage you just to go back. But in this episode, we're going to be talking about how do we invest in others. And years ago, I believe this was probably through Rick Warren that we learned this, the acronym of SHAPE, S-H-A-P-E, that we still use today in teaching people how to invest, because we have a lot of people. For those that don't know, Emily, Dawn, and I are on staff at Lakewood Baptist in Gainesville, Georgia. And we serve within the discipleship ministry here. And much of our role is helping people who come to us from around the region of Northeast Georgia and are looking to get connected within the church. Our team helps them find their way, and part of it is in serving. And one of the initial steps in serving is just knowing how God has shaped you, as Rick Warren will talk about. And so in this episode, we're going to just break down that acronym SHAPE. And the first one, as Emily's already alluded to, is just simply spiritual gifts. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 4:10. As each one of us has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. So we believe that every believer who is a child of God has been gifted by God through the Holy Spirit with gifts that are to be used, as he said, employed in serving one another. Their gifts are given to us for the glory of God and for the good of the body of Christ. When I was in seminary at Southwestern Seminary in Fort Worth, Texas, in the late 90s, our professor, our president at the time, but also a professor in my First Corinthians class that I took, was Dr. Ken Hemphill. And I believe he did his doctoral dissertation on the spiritual gifts. And I remember he taught us as we were going through 1 Corinthians, specifically in chapter 12, that begins the listing of some of the spiritual gifts, that he would say that our spiritual gifts are not for our amusement or for our amazement. They're given to us for the glory of God and for the good of the others. And we'll list these in the show notes, some of the scriptures that speak about the spiritual gifts come from Romans 12, verses 4 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 1 through 11, and then 27 through 31, Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 13, and then 1 Peter 4, verses 9 through 11. Those are just some of the passages in the New Testament that speak to the gifts. And those passages are not an all-inclusive listing by any means, but it is just to give us some ideas, especially within the body of Christ, how we're to function with one another.
Yeah, when we're talking about the spiritual gifts, this is one of the ways I think that God really helps us to be unique in the body of Christ. This is something that makes us different from one another, because, you know, everyone receives, when you come to faith in Jesus Christ, this gift of the Spirit. And so when that gift is given to you, it's like a gift that's really not intended for you. So as Scott was saying, not just for our own amusement or amazement, but it's really a gift to be opened and shared. Like, what's in that box is for other people, but you're the one that actually gets to be the share of God's manifold grace into the body. And that's what that is. You're the one that gets to bring that into the body of Christ and to utilize it. You know, every believer has at least one gift. No one has all the gifts. So even when you look at, and no one is really more gifted than the other person. So when you look at, when you see people sort of serving in the church where they have, you know, some of the gifts that are like teaching or leadership, and you see them up on stage and you look at that and go, they are super gifted in that area. Or evangelism, they're just bringing people to the Lord all the time. But God doesn't look at us that way to say, well, you're going to have, you know, I'm going to give you a lesser because you just get lesser and he gets more than the other. But it is truly a stewardship. 1 Peter 4 verse 10, let me just pull that and read it for you, says, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. The gifts that we receive of the Spirit, we truly do have the opportunity to steward all of these gifts, to take good care of them and to utilize them in the body of Christ to build each other up. That it makes us all different. This is very different than the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the fruit of the Spirit, we all share the same things. You know, when we're functioning and growing in our faith, then we're going to see the fruits of the Spirit. All of us are going to see and should see from one another come forward: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. And so we see all of this. So it's very different than the fruit of the Spirit. It's also very different than talents and abilities. Everybody's kind of different in their talents and abilities and to varied degrees. So this is the combination of spiritual gifts and the fruit of the Spirit and then our talents and abilities. When we think about how all of those things come together in the church and how it's utilized in the church, it makes the body of Christ truly beautiful and unique in such a special way to me. Whenever I'm working with people on learning what their spiritual gifts are, I will usually share with them a specific spiritual gifts test, and we're going to put that in the show notes. That's a really great one to help you understand how your spiritual gifts, what they are. First, it'll give you your top three and really explain them well. And it will show really kind of how they're best utilized. Also sort of the weaknesses that kind of come along with that when sometimes our flesh patterns get tangled up in all of that. But it also helps you understand what it's like to function on a team. Our spiritual gifts are meant to be utilized in the body of Christ and tend to be most useful on the teams that we serve on in churches. And so as we're investing in others, learning what our spiritual gift is, learning the preciousness of it, the value of it, the goodness of God in giving us these gifts that are truly supernatural, come from the Holy Spirit, empowered by the Holy Spirit, uniquely picked out for us, for me individually, from God himself. I mean, that is such a sweet and special thought process to put ourselves in, understanding really how important we are to God that he would gift us in these ways.
Yeah, I think it's important what you just said there, hon, that the three of us, all human beings at birth, have certain skills, abilities, talents that they're just good at. They're just innately good at. Every human being, I believe, has that. But as we're talking about here, they have those skills, abilities, talents from birth naturally. But at after rebirth, birth in Jesus Christ, after being reborn, what we would call being born again, we believe that there then become the spiritual gifts that are given us, as you've alluded to, that are empowered by the Holy Spirit, given to us by God as a grace gift, a manifestation of Him for the greater good of the body of Christ and for His glory. And so why is this important in terms of finishing well? We believe that if you want to finish well, you're going to be marked by ongoing outreach and sacrificial ministry for the glory of God and for the good of other people. And here's the thing, as Dawn said, it's not these gifts that we're talking about are not for us, but what we do find is as we're walking empowered and giving of ourselves for the glory of God and the good of others, through our gifts, not only our skills, abilities, and our talents, but also the spiritual gifts that He has given us, when we do that, there is a natural feeling, a fulfillment that comes in having a life of meaning and purpose and that we're contributing. And so that's the important part of this and connecting it all into finishing well. So, if you do not know where you're gifted, we hope and pray that you will just view through the website at forevermarriage.org the test that we're posting there for you and take a look at it. Next, so we're talking about shape. We're looking at shape and how we invest in one another. The S is spiritual gifts. Next is heart. And you can put in parentheses there. When we talk about heart, this is really about passion, the things that just grab our heart. Solomon says in Proverbs 27:19, as water reflects the face, so one's life reflects the heart. So in other words, how we live, the things that we're passionate about, that is a reflection of what God has put on our heart. Rick Warren says it this way, God has given each of us a unique emotional heartbeat that races when we think about the subjects, activities, or circumstances that interest us. So every one of us, every person living that's breathing is passionate, chances are, about something. And you may say, well, how do you know, Scott, what you're passionate about? Here's three questions that I have found are very helpful to help you connect what you're passionate about. The first one is simply this. What would you stay up late at night talking to someone about? Something that you're just passionate about that drives you. Maybe it's a burden that you have on your heart. That often is an indicator of that which you're passionate about. Second question is simply this. What tends to be on your mind in the middle of the night when you can't sleep? Often whatever it is that awakens you, that stirs you, that maybe grieves you to some extent, that is an indicator of what the Father has burdened your heart about, that He wants you to be passionate about. And often it's the stuff that you're talking about that you feel, does no one else feel about this the same way that I do? That's a good indicator to you that you're passionate about this. The third is simply this. What can you speak about publicly with no preparation and no notes? It's something that you are so passionate about. It's like second nature to you. You could talk about it publicly. If somebody just called on you extemporaneously, you could stand up and talk about it. For Dawn and myself, part of that is what we do here on the Forever Marriage podcast is we have a passion for seeing marriages thrive and grow in a healthy way. And it's largely because what God has done in and through our own marriage, what He redeemed in us, we believe He wants to do in others as well. So, Em, I'm going to put you on the spot.
Oh, boy.
What would you say you're passionate about?
I mean, Benji and I talk a lot about just our life and ministry here at Lakewood and what we feel the Lord is leading us to do, or how, you know, how things are going. I think too, just raising kids, that's, you know, what I'm in the throes of right now. And so what's going to be best for Levi and Lucy, and what does that look like? And, I could probably talk to you a lot about dance. Not that I do it anymore, but I could, you know, I got a lot to say about that. So those are a few things that come to mind.
This, you know, this whole section is really just on and investing in others. And what we tend to find, people who are most fulfilled in what they're passionate about, it tends to be in the service or then the betterment for others. So, you know, when you're thinking in this realm, as we're talking about it in this podcast, I mean, there are people who are passionate about collecting cars, and we're happy with people who are passionate about things like that. But we're also, but in this context, in finishing well, and in specifically investing in each other, in other people, is that finding these places of passion that meet the needs of others, fulfillment for yourself. It meets a need inside of us as well to make a difference in this world. We're really created to make a difference literally in the world, to, you know, the mandate that was given to Adam and Eve of rule and subdue and produce, you know, get all this under your feet, make it productive, invest, you know, fill the earth with people. There's something in us that's just wired to make a difference. And so for this process of finding what you're passionate about is really kind of looking around at, if you're asking yourself, how in the world do I find my passion? Then look around at what needs are around you, in the people around you. We've talked about all the kind of capitals that you possess, but look at what's lacking in the people around you. Are there spiritual needs around you? Are there physical needs around you that you could use the resources that you've been given or blessed with to help meet those needs through practical expression? Are there some relational needs that are around you? So helping others develop authentic relationships or just connecting people. Are there some emotional needs around you? People who need encouragement, people who need just a listening ear. Are there educational? Do you have some capital? Are there those needs around you that people need some teaching? They might need coaching. They might need mentoring in a specific area. Vocational needs, helping people in the work, in the workplace that are around you, training, coaching, mentoring. So rather, where we were teaching you earlier to look and see what kind of capital you have, now we want you to look and see what kind of needs are around you, because this is the closest, this is the avenue we want you to sort of take some steps in to finding what you're passionate about. So when you can connect the capital that you have to the needs that are around you, then we begin to see purpose emerge from your life.
That's very good. That's very good. So we're talking in this episode just the shapes that we have, the shape that is given us by God that He uses for His glory and for the good of others as we invest in others. So we've already broken down spiritual gifts. We've talked about heart. And I want to say one last thing about heart before we move on. Often when we talk about heart and passion, you're going to most likely be passionate about something that God has done a restorative or redemptive work in you about. I'm thinking of people here at Lakewood who have passion in various ministries, in our divorce care, in our Celebrate Recovery, and it's in areas where they have experienced God's healing, restoration, and redemption. So if you're thinking about investing in others, just ask yourself, what has God redeemed in us? And ideally, beautifully, Dawn and I love to see couples serving together, is what has God done a redemptive work in the two of you together, and how can we partner there? So that's just something to be thinking about. So we've looked at spiritual gifts, we've looked at heart, and Dawn's already alluded to this to some degree, but we'll go back and fill it in, is A is your abilities. These are your abilities that are natural talents which you were born with. These are the skills Emily's already alluded to. She's a dancer. And we could, do we want to put in show notes what some pictures from?
No, thank you. Absolutely not.
What was it? You were a, not a, what do they call it? You were a,
A dance dog and a Georgette.
A dance dog, yeah.
And a Georgette.
And a Georgette.
What's the difference between a dance dog and a Georgette?
Well, Georgette, they dance as a part of the Redcoat Marching Band and do more like kick line, kind of rockette style.
Did they do it with a baton and stuff?
No, no, those are the majorettes.
Majorettes and dance dogs.
I'm really shocked you don't know this because you were a band geek. And
yeah.
Didn't you have all those things? Didn't you have majorette?
Yes, we had one majorette who kind of, she stood off on the side and
like
really
a feature
had,
twirler.
Feature twirl, mm-hmm. Thank you, Em. And she really had nothing to do with the marching band. She just
kind of does her own thing.
She did her own
music.
Thing. Yeah. And I'm like, does that. It,
we just kind of dance
any,
along with
yeah,
the music.
Yeah, she just danced
twirl.
Along. Mm-hmm. But our flag corps was, yes. And it's not a geek. Let me ask you. Be honest with me.
Okay.
Do you think people that march in the marching band are geeks?
I'm not going to answer that question.
Thank you, Emily.
It's not a fair question. I love all of my friends who are in the marching band. And I made some new friends that I didn't,
Oh, I didn't say I didn't love the people in the band.
You married one.
I married one. So obviously I had an affinity deep down inside my heart
for
a tuba player.
That's what's the difference between a tuba and a sousaphone? It's the same thing, right?
They're in the same family. What I played in high school and college and in the drum corps was called a tuba and or a contrabass. And it was carried over the shoulder. And y'all listening are like, this has nothing to do with finishing.
Y'all needed a break. You know, sometimes you got to come up above the waterline.
I can hear the piccolos like really high pitched over here. And then the tubas, boom, boom, boom.
Yeah.
You know, in my.
That's everybody so stereotypical. Boom, 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 boom. It's like, I played more melodic stuff than boom, 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 boom.
Yep. You did. I'm sure you did.
Let's move on. So we've talked about spiritual gifts. We talked about heart. Now we've talked about abilities as well. We've talked about these are the skills, natural talents, which you have from birth. But here's the beauty of that. Things that come naturally to you can still be used of God. There's guys that have construction skills. I have none of that.
Yeah. Let me ask y'all a question then. Who is somebody that you came to know because of their ability, but they eventually had spiritual impact on you? Mm. Somebody that you came to know, interacted with because of their abilities, but they ended up having a spiritual impact on you.
I will tie it back. I mean, goes back to marching band. Was it my high school band director in Effingham County? His name was Bill Locklear, and he was very passionate about music and music done very well with excellence. And he would not settle for mediocrity. And I just we laugh now looking back 40 something years at just what we called his temper tantrums and tirades that he would go off on when we were not performing up to the level that he knew we could. But from that, he was very gifted, had great abilities in music, skills and abilities in music, but it influenced me in a spiritual way in the sense that I began even learning there as a high schooler that anything that God has called us to do, he has called us to do it with excellence for his glory, as we've been talking about, and for the good of others. That was never spoken of really that I can recall from Mr. Locklear, but it was this kind of principle that I took from that. So that's one that stood out to me.
Yeah, I danced with a couple of girls in college and at the time wasn't walking with Christ and they were. And so just kind of doing that together and seeing them live for the Lord as a dancer, but also in college and especially at UGA where there's a lot of, you know, things to get into that aren't God glorifying. But so anyway, that impacted me, just watching them live for the Lord, doing what they love in a God honoring way.
Yeah. I think this is the, you know, for me, abilities really have a twofold purpose. So the abilities, the skills, the things that people have that they develop over time, like band directors, school teachers, dance instructors, they've been honing their skills for all of their lifetime, but because of who they are spiritually, they make an impact on the people that are around them. And that is important to just take note of. Even where you are listening to us right now, you might be a construction worker. You might be, you know, riding on the back of a trash truck. It doesn't matter. Whatever your gifts and abilities are, God can use them for His glory and to reach and impact people around your circles that maybe the three of us who work inside the church might not really ever be able to reach. You know, I don't have some of those abilities. Like if you wanted somebody to build a bridge across Thompson Bridge, you would not ask me to do that. I wouldn't even know where to begin to do something like that. But I do know people who do know that. And because of who they are, they make spiritual impacts. So not only are they building a bridge across Lake Lanier, but they're building a spiritual bridge for people across the greatest divide between themselves and God through Christ. But also the uniqueness of being able to bring your gifts, your talents and your abilities that you have inside the church. I think one of the greatest stories in the Old Testament was in preparation for the building of the temple. In Exodus chapter 31, God gives a picture of what abilities are look like used in the service for inside the church. And He calls these two men, Bezalel and Oholiab, He's given them these, what He calls spiritual gifts of wisdom, but they're sort of manifested in how they make artistic designs in gold and silver and bronze to be able to set stones. They're also able to carve things at, you know, tables and articles for serving. They're able to sew sacred garments for Aaron and the priests. I mean, these are the gifts and abilities from outside maybe the church that are brought into the service of the church. So what we think about that in terms of where we are here at Lakewood, we have people who have financial knowledge. They serve on our stewardship team. We have creative people who serve, you know, in our worship ministries, designing sets and whatever it is like that. But this is the sweet part of abilities that even though you might not be born super, you know, talented with something, but the things that you spend your lifetime honing or getting your education of or skills that you spent time out of are still useful in the kingdom of God. And we can find even more purpose as we start to uncover what our abilities are and where they can be used.
Yeah. So we just want to ask you two questions. What are you naturally good at? And you know that there's something that probably one or two, maybe three things that just pop out to you right off the top of your head when I ask you, what are you naturally good at? Now, here's a second question. How might God use that natural ability or abilities for His glory and the good of others? As Dawn's already alluded to, maybe you're a craftsman or maybe you're a seamstress or you have these skills, these abilities, things that you're just good at. But how can God use that for His glory and the good of others? Chances are it can be. So that's what we want to just put before you. So we've talked about spiritual gifts. We've talked about heart. We've talked about abilities. Now the P is personality. Now here's the funny thing. As we're recording, Dawn, Emily, Jessica Hart, who is our women's Bible study director, and Beth Everett, who is our prayer and counseling director here at Lakewood, they just have come back literally in recent days from from a conference down in Florida. Now, if you know anything about these ladies, you may not know them, but let me just give you the inside scoop. All four of them are introverts. And so they spent basically Thursday through Sunday investing relationally in other people, and God used them greatly. We've seen a lot of testimonies, a lot of texts, and all kinds of reports from that. But from that, as introverts, what was y'all's experience in that? When y'all came back or when you left after having invested for the day, what were some of the things that y'all experienced?
I mean, a lot of the in-between time, like car rides and such, we just kind of sat there. And it felt great.
There's no need to talk among the introverted. And as if we understand each other are introverts, you know, we get it. We don't have to talk and we're fine. But the hard thing for introverts to do is to be in situations where you have to drive the conversation and stuff like that. So, which we loved being a part of all of these ladies for the weekend. But man, it was like exhaustion by the time we all got finished. So we missed our extroverts. You know what I mean? I need an extrovert around me, which I'm married to one. So fortunately, he's going to talk. He's my very wordy and verbose and loud security blanket in public situations, you know, because he's going to do it. He's just going to do it. And it's great for my introverted soul. So our personality types are important to understand and to know that the differences. It just pointed out to me this weekend how much I missed having someone who's wired to be an extrovert who can keep conversation going and keep things alive a little bit. We don't need people just like us all the time around us.
Yeah.
We won't be the best versions of ourselves if we don't have those people. So we need each other and need to learn. Learning personality types are great. I think it's important, especially when you need to learn this about yourself. I find that people love to do their personality profiles. They love themselves, something that's going to tell them about themselves, you know? And I think that it's a great tool for understanding. It doesn't tell you everything you need to know about a person. So as you're studying personality profiles, just know that if somebody tells you that they're an extrovert, or if somebody tells you that they're an introvert, or if somebody tells you that they're a type A, or if somebody tells you they're a number whatever on the Enneagram, that does not tell you everything that you need to know about that person. So you can't just assume that you can keep going and have a full understanding of someone. But it is an important part to know about somebody so that you can value them and understand how better to relate to them.
Yeah. And so we all have tendencies. And if you're listening and you're married, which chances are you are or about to get married, here's reality. Most likely, as Dawn's alluded to, most likely the person you are going to marry or the person you are married to in personality is probably on the other end of the spectrum from you. As Dawn's already alluded to, she's an introvert. I'm an extrovert. I am energized by people. When I am with people, that energizes me. And it's not a derogatory thing, but being with people can drain you, right?
It does. I love people and I love my people, but I got to take a nap after I've been with them.
That's right.
For an extended period of time.
So some of us are people oriented. Some of us are task oriented. Some of us are cooperative in nature. Some of us are competitive in nature. Some of us, as we've already talked about, the four ladies are introverted in nature, and chances are most of them are married to extroverts. I know Beth is. Some are self-controlled, and some are self-expressive. Some prefer routine, some prefer variety. Dawn could eat the same thing every day for the rest of her life till Jesus comes back and be totally content. That would drive me crazy.
Yeah, I like routine. I don't like change very much. And I like just once I get something that I love, I just like to keep that thing in my life, which has served you well, honey. I love you. I'm just going to keep you in my life. You know what I'm saying?
Don't need variety there.
No, don't need variety there. I've got it. And so I don't want it to change.
But
you know?
And see, that's the funny thing about me. I don't want to change you. Okay. Don't go change.
Okay. Nobody needs to hear Billy Joel from you. Nope.
But here is the thing about me. I do love change, though. Mm-hmm. And sometimes, even here at the church over the past 23 years, I have changed things just because I love change. And it wasn't that it necessarily what we were doing ministry-wise needed change or whatever. When you and I have done conferences together and we've done the same material, I change it, though people have never heard it before. But I'm like, I'm tired of saying it the same way. So I want to do it different, even though it's never been heard the way we did it previous by this group of people. I just like change. And so we have to understand how were we wired. Let me just say this, too. And this is a point of confession, but if you want to finish well in marriage, you're going to have to learn to embrace the differences between you and your partner. And because there are differences, because this was a shortcoming of me. Dawn and I now have been married for 35 years, but this was a shortcoming for me years ago in our marriage, is that I had a hard time embracing Dawn's personality differences. And I saw her differences as barriers for us rather than bridges for us. That it was really for God. The difference were there to help me become a better version, a more Christ-like version of myself. But,
and I just want to interject. I don't think this is just for marriage. We need this lesson across the board.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, we're not embracing differences right now as bridges or a potential to help us grow.
Sure.
We're viewing differences as barriers to our forward progress. Mm-hmm. And therefore they should be canceled, X'd out, or hated. And I feel like this is an important lesson for all of us, not just for marriage, if we want to finish well.
Yeah. I would say the language that you and I use as we're working with couples in the context of marriage, but I think it's true even culturally, is what the person's asking of me. Is it immoral? Is it illegal? Is it unethical? Is it unbiblical? Does it violate my conscience? And if it's none of those five things, illegal, immoral, unethical, unbiblical, or a violation of my conscience, it's just different, then it might behoove us to say, okay, can I embrace this difference? Even though you spread mayonnaise with the tablespoon, I spread it with a butter knife. You know, you don't eat the ends of bread. I love the ends of bread.
Dawn's a free squeezer and you're not.
That's right.
Thank you,
Dawn,
Emily.
That's right.
And Emily's been with us a long time. She knows way more about
all
us.
All of the stories. Oh, all the stories. So that's personality. And then we're going to finish up here with experiences. This is really life experiences. As you're thinking about shape, spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, finally experiences. I want you just to ask yourself about the experiences of life that you have had. We learned from a tragic experience that Dawn and I and our family in Fort Worth, Texas experienced back in 1999. We had a tragic shooting at our church, and a number of close people to us were killed in that shooting. And we had a ceremony, what do you call it? Just a ceremony on Sunday following that. And an evangelical Catholic priest named Father Beaumont came to that. He was a friend of our senior pastor at the time. And he just simply said four words at this memorial service. He said, "Our God wastes nothing." And over the past several years, gosh, that's been 24 years ago now almost, I've just processed those four words, "Our God wastes nothing," through the lens of biblical understanding of scripture, through the lens of my and Dawn's own personal experiences, and just looking at life in general, God wastes nothing. What we have found in our own lives and numerous others, too many to tell, is often our greatest misery becomes our most fruitful ministry. And Paul illustrates it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. He said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who does what? He comforts us in all our affliction." Why? "So that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God." So in other words, all Paul is saying, hey, Scott, Dawn, Emily, Benji, God is not going to waste anything. Whatever you have encountered in your life, some of the most hurtful, tragic, sorrowful, painful things, God has a way of redeeming it and restoring it, not just for you, but also for the greater good of someone else. And this is what we have found. Those who embrace that reality, that's not just a truth for me and Dawn, Benji, and Emily, and those of us here at Lakewood. That is a truth for every child of God, that he wastes nothing. So here's a little exercise we want to give you as we conclude this episode. We want you to take some time to think through your shape, your spiritual gifts, your heart, your abilities, your personality, and your experiences. And in light of those five aspects of who you are, here's our question. How might God want to use you to help others finish well? This is what we have found to be true, is that people who squander these gifts, these abilities, these experiences, and hard-learned insights given to them by God will no longer, if they don't invest in the lives of others, they will soon wither and withdraw. So we want to encourage you to finish well, and you can do so by knowing your shape. Let me pray for you. Father, I pray for our friends who are listening now. I ask you, Lord, through the power of your Spirit, one, to encourage them, to help them know that you waste nothing, that all of the experiences of life that they have gone through, when surrendered to you, when redeemed by you, can be used for a greater good and for your glory. And so I pray, Lord, that in the moments and the days that they have ahead, ourselves included, that we would process what we have shared here and seek to join you in what you want to do, Lord, in not only helping us finish well, but helping others finish well. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you all. And stay tuned for another episode of the Forever Marriage Podcast.